This podcast is brought to you by ER Eats, supporting our restaurants and first responders. The Howie Carr Show is accepting donations to feed emergency room personnel as they battle the coronavirus. Go to HowieCarrShow.com and click on the ER Eats banner at the top of the page to donate.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
And we begin tonight with a disturbing milestone in this coronavirus pandemic.
Today, the United States surpassed Italy as the country with the most deaths.
The grim milestone comes at Easter, the very weekend Donald Trump had wanted to reopen the country for business.
This latest surge pushing the U.S. total beyond hard-hit Italy after already overtaking Spain, now the deadliest nation in confirmed COVID-19 fatalities.
You're forgetting something. China.
Live from the Matthews Brothers studios.
Trump, meanwhile, calls it the Chinese virus. They say a great way to prevent a virus from spreading is to name it something racist.
For the president to call it a Chinese virus or a foreign virus, it's just so dangerous and not a good thing to do.
There are some, at least one White House official, who used the term Kung Flu, referring to the fact that this virus started in China. Is that acceptable?
We can't afford the luxury anymore of non-judginess towards a country with habits that kill millions of people everywhere. It's not racist to point out that eating bats is batshit crazy.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
This is not a major threat for the people in the United States, and this is not something that the citizens of the United States right now should be worried about.
It isn't something that the American public needs to worry about or be frightened about.
Well, that was then, and this is now.
If we had, right from the very beginning, shut everything down, it may have been a little bit different, but there was a lot of pushback about shutting things down back then.
Unchained and unstoppable.
China was not truthful with the world at the outset of this. Had they been more truthful with the world, which would have enabled them to be more truthful with themselves, they might have actually been able to contain this entirely.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Grim milestone. Whatever the death toll is, it's a grim milestone, at least if there's a Republican president and there's a pandemic going on or a war going on. If it's a Democrat president, nothing to see here. Folks, move along. 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. That's the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. We got a lot to get to here today. We have a lot of great guests scheduled, including Alex Berenson, the former New York Times reporter, who's been sort of a contrarian on this whole subject. And he's going to be with us at the bottom of the hour. We'll have Joe DeGeneva talking about the latest developments in Spygate, the biggest political scandal in American history. And we got a lot going on here, but I first will start today and just get right into it. Again, the number if you want to join us is 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. And the big news yesterday was that Anthony Fauci, the doctor that's the head guy, 79 years old, went on with a Democrat operative, former coat holder for Chelsea Clinton's mother-in-law, whose husband went to prison for $10 million in bank fraud. But I digress. So he's a Democrat operative with a press pass. So he's got this New York Times story from the previous day blaming Trump for everything. What else is new, right? Talk about a standing headline. Trump did it. And so he sets up...
Everybody's always blaming me for everything.
They are. What else is new? We all know that. You know that better than any of us. So he sets it up, and Fauci just kind... The problem with Fauci is, I thought about this long and hard, he's a chameleon. He goes on with Mark Levin, and Mark Levin is happy with the interview. He goes on with Jesse Waters from Fox as well. Jesse Waters gets what he wants, right? So, but he also goes on with Jake Tapper and gives him what he wants. But in this case, Jake Tapper was setting him up, and he didn't really throw Trump under the bus the way the headlines made it seem. But he just... he was not very wary. He didn't cover himself well, and he didn't cover his boss, which is the president, very well. And so the president, like all of us, didn't watch Jake Tapper. Because, you know, if you want to see a batty, deranged Democrat, you don't have to turn on CNN. You just walk around and you see somebody yapping. So Trump just sees the headline and then he retweets this, and then somebody has said, fire Fauci, and he just retweets it. I don't think he's not going to fire him. I don't think Cuomo said as much. Hogan Gidley said as much today. He's not going to. I don't think he's going to fire him. But anyway, if you probably haven't heard these cuts because, you know, like I said, like none of us watch Jake Tapper. Who the hell would watch Jake? Jake Tapper was one of the premier proponents of the dodgy dossier, which we're going to get to later on today, which was totally fraudulent, and everybody knew it was totally fraudulent, and they still pushed it. And he was on the air in January of 2017 for 4 hours with other nitwits like Carl Bernstein pushing this thing like it was real. And I remember that at the time looking up and say, are they kidding? Do they really believe this caca? But anyway, so let's play a couple of these cuts with just so you hear the kinds of questions that he was asking and Fauci's response, which is not nearly as bad as the headlines made it out to be. But again, it's all in service of the narrative. You know, they got the adverb they were looking for, which was obviously here. You'll see it. Cut 10.
The New York Times reported yesterday that you and other top officials wanted to recommend social and physical distancing guidelines to President Trump as far back as the third week of February. But the administration didn't announce such guidelines to the American public until March 16th, almost a month later. Why?
You know, Jake, as I've said many times, we look at it from a pure health standpoint. We make a recommendation. Often the recommendation is taken. Sometimes it's not. But it is what it is. We are where we are right now.
Oh, I hate that it is what it is. I hated it when Belichick said it all those years. Probably still says it. It's a meaningless phrase. But anyway, here he is. Continue. Cut 11.
Do you think lives could have been saved if social distancing, physical distancing, stay-at-home measures had started third week of February instead of mid-March?
You know, Jake, again, it's the what would have, what could have. It's very difficult to go back and say that. I mean, obviously, you could logically say that if you had a process that was ongoing and you started mitigation earlier, you could have saved lives. Obviously, no one is going to deny that. But what goes into those kinds of decisions is complicated. But you're right. I mean, obviously, if we had right from the very beginning shut everything down, it may have been a little bit different. But there was a lot of pushback about shutting things down back then.
Okay, so you hear that in the first cut. Tapper is quoting from the very fake news, failing New York Times story from the previous day, as far back as the third week of February. You wanted to shut everything down, okay?
Very fake news.
Okay, here we are. Let's go to February 29th, which is would usually be March 1st in 3 out of 4 years, but that would be the fifth week of February if there was such a thing. It's the beginning of the fifth week of February. Here he is with Pajama Boy NBC reporter Peter Alexander. What do you tell Americans? Okay, so here he is with this is Fauci with Peter Alexander on February 29th. 2 weeks after he was supposedly telling Trump that to shut it down. Cut 9.
So, Dr. Fauci, it's Saturday morning in America. People are waking up right now with real concerns about this. They want to go to malls and movies, maybe the gym as well. Should we be changing our habits? And if so, how?
No, right now, at this moment, there is no need to change anything that you're doing on a day-by-day basis.
Really?
Right now, the risk is still low, but this could change. I've said that many times. Even on this program, you've got to watch
out
because
although
the risk is low now, you don't need to change anything you're doing. When you start to see community spread, this could change.
Yeah.
Why didn't he correct Jake Tapper and say, well, actually, you know, Jake, I told another one of your fellow comrades in the Democrat operatives in the media 2 weeks after I supposedly told the president to shut it down. I told him everything was okay. Okay, how about from January? How about Fauci on January 21st?
So manageable numbers. Bottom line, we don't have to worry about this one, right?
Well, obviously you need to take it seriously and do the kinds of things that the CDC and the Department of Homeland Security are doing. But this is not a major threat for the people in the United States. Oh. And this is not something that the citizens of the United States right now should be worried about.
Maybe we'll quote you on that, Dr. Fauci. Okay. So this is January 26th, 5 days before the president of the United States, who's now being blamed for everything, shut down travel to China. Apparently, Fauci didn't agree with that because he didn't think it was a big deal. Cut eight.
It has been essentially non-existent in humans until it made this jump in China. And now we have on our hands an outbreak. Having said that, getting back to your first question, it isn't something that the American public needs to worry about or be frightened about, because we have ways of preparing, of screening, of people coming in, and we have ways of responding.
So we have ways of people, of screening people coming in. We don't need to be shutting down travel from China. So who was right and who was wrong here, judging from those sound cuts and chronology of what happened? 844-500-4242. Yeah. 917 says, if we had just shut the country down 6 years ago, this wouldn't have happened. Okay. And now the guy who's come up with these cockamamie models is now saying, well, if we open the country up again, it could be. This is the guy who said 100,000 to 240,000. Now it's down to 26,000 to 61,000. If we open it up in May, it'll come back. Oh. Yeah, it's gonna come back. People are going to die. All right. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
You're tuned into the Howie Carr Radio Network.
Hi, this is John in the People's Republic of Amherst, Massachusetts.
This is Heather from Litchfield, Maine.
This is Camp, Wichita, Kansas, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
Well, I'd like to welcome John to the show. John, thanks for being here, pal.
Thank you, sir. Honored to be here.
Well, the fact is that there's a lot going on. I don't know even where to begin.
Obviously. When was that, Taylor?
I think that was on his podcast today.
Okay.
So even his staff is just blissfully unaware. They're not listening to his recordings. They're just posting them. They've given up. Yeah. Look, he's got the nomination. We all realize it. Who cares? Just put it out.
It was amazing. He was basically unopposed in the primary in Alaska, and his percentage fell to 53% running against nobody. So save that cut for me. Send that cut to me, please, Taylor.
Howie, his staff must draw straws every day to decide who's going to actually have to sit in and listen to the podcast.
When we do podcasts other than the show, Grace, we have a little more stringent requirements than that. You know, if Taylor had started out a segment of Dirty Rats that way, you would have said, cut! And we would have started over again.
I feel as though I'm a bit more harsh than Joe Biden's handlers. You've been in there with guests before, and I've said, no, this isn't working. We got to start over. If I said that to Joe Biden, he'd probably be like, what's going on? Who is this awful woman?
Who is this lion, dog-faced pony soldier?
Yeah. Where am I?
Listen, fat, I'm going to record this the way I want to.
Today's, by the way, a friend of mine sent me 17 minutes of Joe Biden stuff just from last year. This is all old stuff. I'd forgotten most of it, but we now have it in our custody. And so we will never be short of Joe Biden stuff, at least for the next couple of months. We'll never be short until after the election anyway. So we've got plenty of stuff now. It's just amazing, the stuff. You're not going to believe it. Mississippi. Dr. Milton Friedman, you know, the noted economist, also known as Dr. Milton Friedman. Anyway, today's poll question is brought to you by Honey, the easiest way to find the biggest discounts online. It's free to use, and we will have you saving money in minutes. Download Honey today at joinhoney.com/Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Would it be wise for President Trump to fire Dr. Fauci?
No, it would not, and I don't think he's going to.
66% say no.
Yeah, you know, guess what, though? The first, 20 or 30 questions are going to be at the press briefing today. Why did you send out that tweet? Are you going to fire him?
Fauci's
gonna... You don't believe in science? Is that it?
Fauci's going to have to be there today, right?
I would think he's going to have to be there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And if he's not there, why isn't Fauci here? Have you fired him already? Is he dead? Oh, God. Let's play a couple more cuts. This guy Jake Tapper, this Democrat operative with a press pass who used to be on the Clinton payroll, he's letting Pelosi say that she knew all about this. She was trying to impeach Trump over nothing, literally nothing. The Ukrainian phone call, but she knew what was going on. Cut two.
Do you think it's fair for Mitch McConnell to suggest that impeachment slowed down the federal response?
No. Oh, that's so sad. They can't handle their jobs, I guess, because what are they saying? We ignored it? It was self-evident. Most people knew about it, and certainly those of responsibility. So I say of that, either you can't handle your job, but don't blame impeachment on that. Just blame it on the fact that you didn't want to face the reality. And that denial and that delay cost lives.
It was self-evident. It was self-evident. That's why Nancy Pelosi, with Chinese New Year, I think February 23rd in San Francisco, here was her advice to her constituents, because it was so self-evident that there was a pandemic going on. Cut three.
It's exciting to be here, especially at this time, to be able to be unified with our community. We want to be vigilant about what might be on what is out there in other places. We want to be careful about how we deal with it. But we do want to say to people, come to Chinatown. Here we are. We're, again, careful, safe, and come join us.
And infected. It's self-evident.
So she's basically saying in the last cut that if Trump were president in the days leading up to 9/11 or Pearl Harbor, that they would have kept impeachment going, knowing that he had to respond to this impending attack, which in this case is the coronavirus. But right. he should have been able to do his job while we were impeaching him.
Right. Right. And this is a major epidemic that's threatening the future of the United States of America. But we have time to go through all these gotcha moments, which aren't even real gotcha moments. These are just fake news gotcha moments. We'll be right back with Alex Berenson. I'm Howie Carr. Have you had enough yet of the volatility of the stock markets, down 1,000 or more points, up the next? Are you tired of watching that little box at the bottom of your TV screen that shows the market plunging hundreds of points or thousands of points? You need to get diversified with Orion Metal Exchange. You shouldn't be caught flat-footed in this roller coaster ride that the stock markets have been on the last couple of weeks. No matter what the reason, the coronavirus or the oil price war abroad between Russia and Saudi Arabia, you always need to be diversified, and that means owning some precious metals, gold and silver and platinum. Listen up. Orion Metal Exchange is the only precious metals company that I trust. If you haven't yet taken advantage of their no-obligation guide, it's still not too late. Give them a call today to learn more about gold and silver and other precious metals. Call Orion today at 1-800-912-2300. That's 1-800-912-2300. Call them right now at 1-800-912-2300.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. Joining us now on the news line is Alex Berenson. He's a former New York Times reporter, very successful novelist. He's also the author of a great book, A Contrarian Viewpoint, about the legalization of marijuana. Tell Your Children the Truth About Marijuana, Mental Illness, and Violence. And didn't get a lot of attention from the left-wing media when it came out, but it's a great book. And he's married to a Yale grad, he's married to a psychiatrist, and he's got a contrarian attitude on the coronavirus pandemic as well. And he's really been a great voice, not exactly in the wilderness, but he's been fairly lonely. And we wanted to have him on. You may have seen him on TV, and you may have read his tweets, but he's doing a great job. Alex Berenson. Thanks for being with us on the Howie Carr Show, Alex.
Howie, thank you so much for having me.
Where do you think we are right now? How soon are we going to get out from under this rock?
I think that's a really good question, because by any reasonable standard, the epidemic has rolled over, it looks like. You know, if you look at, I mean, even in New York City and New York State, hospitalizations are essentially flat. Deaths are a lagging indicator. I've said this over and over again. You know, people go in the hospital and some of them do die. Some of them wind up on ventilators and some of those people die. But what you need to worry about, really, even more than the number of infections, because that number is sort of driven by the number of tests that we do, and we don't quite understand really at this point how many people are really infected. What we want to know is how many people are winding up in the hospital with this, because some number of those people will then get really sick. And that number outside of New York City, and New York State has been relatively flat, it looks like, nationally from the best I can track it, and I'm trying to track various states. And then even in New York City, which was obviously the hardest hit, it seems to have flattened now. The net infections the last few days, net hospitalizations are close to zero. So in a reasonable world, people would be starting to talk seriously about how we move forward. Okay, and that doesn't mean that we go back right now to the way it was, let's say, in mid-February, right? It means that we figure out quickly, because our economy is in free fall, how we're going to open first workplaces, then retail, then hospitality, and then mass events. Okay, and it doesn't have to be a long period of time between those things, but really, it seems like that's a reasonable way to do it. And do we want to encourage people to wear masks in public? Because the Japanese and in Asian countries, they've been more aggressive about wearing masks, and they don't seem to have had as much of a problem. And what are the metrics going to be that we're going to reopen things? Because the whole point of this, people seem to have forgotten a month ago, the point of this was not to drive COVID infections or deaths to zero. That's not a standard we've ever had for any other illness.
Right.
Okay, in the 1980s, when HIV was killing 100% of the people it infected, we didn't shut society down. Okay, we don't shut society down because tuberculosis kills 1.5 million people worldwide every year. We don't do that.
Alex, what happened here? Why is this so different than any other virus or swine flu or Asian flu or SARS? Why is this so different?
Clearly, well, it's scary to people because it's novel, because it came out of China, because there are these rumors about the Chinese killed a lot of people secretly. Nobody knows if that's true. Okay, it's a rumor, but a lot of people believe it. Okay, so this is a scary thing. And then for a month in February, when we could have been preparing for it, we didn't do anything, or we didn't do very much. And then, Italy got overrun, northern Italy got overrun, and the whole country panicked. The media panicked, the whole country panicked. And instead of saying, the average age of death from the coronavirus in Italy is 80.
Right.
Let's look at protecting the people who are actually ill and saving our economy. We just said, we're going to shut the whole country down. And you know, and it was a cascade, state to state. And then New York City, which is the media capital of the world, which is filled with people who, you know, who don't like Donald Trump, obviously. I don't think I'm saying anything controversial when I say that. And who, you know, believe Trump's response to that, to the pandemic was bad. New York City then got overrun. And that made the panic so much worse. And so now it is like trying to, it is like trying to beat people over the head with data to get to them to look at some of the numbers about what's really happening. The thing that I have said, I think, that's gotten more traction than anything else, besides the fact that the models are just wrong and have been wrong, is that the hospitals outside New York City and outside a couple other places, hospitals in this country are emptying. Okay, it is crazy that in the middle of what is supposed to be the worst pandemic since the Spanish flu, hospitals are emptying.
Yeah, I know, because they're not any more inpatient visits because they're shut down, and elective surgeries have pretty much ended. But, you know, here's the problem, Alex. You know, Dwight Eisenhower warned about the military-industrial complex, and then people talked about the welfare-industrial complex. It seems like in the last 6 weeks we've developed something here in this country, and I just coined the phrase, the pandemic-industrial complex. They don't want it to go back to the way it was. I don't know if it's, I think it's just because they want to beat Donald Trump, basically. But for whatever reason, they want the shutdown to continue indefinitely.
I don't want to believe that, okay? But it is hard to read some of the coverage and some of the misleading stories that I've sort of read and pointed to, and not start to have that feeling that, why aren't people telling the truth about who's gotten sick? Why aren't people discussing how badly the models have failed? Why aren't people saying, you know what, like, even in New York City, there was the overflow we didn't use, really. You know, we used a tiny bit of it. And outside of New York City, nurses are literally, and I'm not exaggerating, being laid off. A hospital in Oklahoma City closed. Why aren't we talking about this stuff? I don't know.
I know, you know, and we've been trying to get the same as you, the data on who's dying. Powerlineblog.com is in Minnesota. The state of Minnesota, their own data, the average age of a death, a median age, is 88. 88. I mean, I'm sorry, but 88 in Massachusetts, the best we can determine, because they don't release the median dates, but it looks like it's 82. Two-thirds of the deaths in Minnesota are in nursing homes. 45% in Massachusetts, at least, are in nursing homes. Again, I'm sorry, but it's not a society-wide problem, is it?
Well, look, you can get sick from this if you're younger, and certainly if you have comorbidities. But yeah, no, and look, you've seen deaths reported in hospices that are attributed to COVID. How do you report that? How do you report somebody died of COVID if they're in hospice for something else? Like, I mean, I don't understand that. I put out a number yesterday, and nobody's contradicted it. This is one of the craziest numbers in all of this, as far as I can tell. If you total up the death totals, that the states have reported, that Italy has reported, that, you know, the Netherlands and all these, you know, other countries, they've done some pretty good numbers. Mm-hmm. More people over 100, over the age of 100, have died of COVID than under the age of 30.
Wow.
I mean, look at the you can find the Massachusetts numbers. There's been like 8 or 10 people over 100 have died. Nobody, as far as I certainly nobody under 20 in Massachusetts.
And incidentally, some people over 100 have survived too. I've seen that in some of those charts.
That's right. I mean, and by the way, we haven't even talked about the other half of this, which is the economic devastation now is so off the charts. We don't have charts for it.
Yeah. I know 17 million unemployed in the filed for unemployment in the last 3 weeks alone. Probably another 6-7 million this week too. And a lot
Sorry, go on.
But again, I mean, there are people who think they're going to benefit politically from this. I'm sorry, Alex. You know, I know your background, Yale and New York Times and all that. But I mean, what other conclusion can you draw? They seem to be practically giddy about this sometimes when they're reporting this.
I try to stay out of it because I want to focus on the public health stuff, and I just want us to have a more sane policy. And, you know, fighting about whether people hate Trump, and that's the reason for this, it does not help. It does not help me. I mean, I'm, you know, if other people want to make that argument, I get it, but it does not help me. I mean, here's what I'll say. Okay, I wrote the cannabis book. The cannabis book is airtight. Okay, I wrote it because my wife is a psychiatrist, and she said, this is what I'm seeing. And it turned out, you know, of course she knew what she was talking about. And I've heard, you know, the data, I mean, the data in the book that's from medical study after medical study. Since the book came out, I've heard from so many psychiatrists. The media didn't care.
You went to Yale, Alex. Alex, I dare say you've had some firsthand experience with people you knew who had used cannabis, and it didn't turn out as sanguinely as they told you it did.
I mean, listen, I think we all have. I mean, I know people whose lives have essentially stopped from cannabis use.
Right.
And I think, you know, I think a lot of people, if they actually think about people they know in their lives, know that's true. But my point is this. The pushback that I've gotten in the last month, although it is fierce from the media, it doesn't really bother me because I watched this happen last year with Tell Your Children. And I will tell you this. My emails are running maybe 50, maybe 100-1 in favor of ending the lockdowns. I mean, what you see on Twitter is not what average people seem to feel about this right now. A lot of them, anyway.
I think most people want an end to it, and again, that doesn't mean that anyone is discounting the toll here. But you know what's going to happen in an hour and a half when he goes out there. They're going to say, you know, how dare you think about opening the country back up? And what do you tell the first person who dies? You know what they're going to do. I mean, they think they got him they've got him where they couldn't get him on Russia. They couldn't get him on Ukraine. Now they think they got him. I'm sorry, Alex. You don't want to think about that. But I see it, you know, and it's just it's ridiculous. What did you think of what Fauci said yesterday after basically downplaying the threat all through January and February, and then he kind of got trapped by Jake Tapper on CNN.
Right. So look, I mean, you know, Fauci said a lot of different things recently. He said we're not going to reopen until there, you know, we have no cases of this, which, again, that's a standard that does not exist for any other disease. You know, then he said maybe November. Then you actually heard him on Fox a little bit, I think it was yesterday, kind of saying, well, you know, maybe this wasn't the best course in retrospect, but we didn't know at the time. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he sort of started to step that way.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Fauci is not the president of the United States. The president of the United States is the president of the United States, and he's the one who has to balance everyone's interests, of the 80-year-old in the nursing home and of the 6-year-old who's not getting any food because he's not going to school and is stuck at home with his abusive mother and father. He's got to balance, the president's got to balance the person in the hospital who could get sick from this and the person who's 40 years old and doesn't have a job right now and doesn't know how he's going to pay his rent next month. It's his job to balance it for all of us.
Alex Berenson, you're doing a really good job. And, you know, again, your book about marijuana, Tell Your Children the Truth About Marijuana, Mental Illness and Violence, is a great book, too. And I'm gonna check out some of your mysteries. I'm reading a lot of mysteries these days, and I was not familiar with you. But, give yourself a plug with my audience for your mysteries. You have a series.
So yeah, it's a series. It's CIA spy thrillers, and the first one came out in 2006. I worked in Iraq for the New York Times for a couple, not for that long, but I did do a couple of tours there, and I wound up writing this book about I wouldn't say it was based on my experiences, but my experiences informed it, and it's about a CIA agent who's inside Al Qaeda, named John Wells, and he converts to Islam, and then they send him home to carry out an attack, and sort of nobody trusts him. Al-Qaeda doesn't trust him, CIA doesn't trust him, and he's got to figure out what's going on his own. And somewhat to my surprise, people liked John Wells. John Wells is kind of he's not that easy a guy, but people liked him, and I wound up writing 12 of these books.
Okay, so he's like a 21st century private eye.
Something like that. I mean, you know, the thing about Wells is he doesn't really think he can do anything to change the world, but he knows he's got to try. You know, he's sort of like this. He's a little like Tom Brady. He's just going to keep strapping on his helmet because he doesn't know what else to do with himself.
All right. Alex Berenson, thank you so much for being with us. I hope we can talk to you again in a couple of weeks when this thing, hopefully starts to wind down.
Yep, let's hope so. Howie, it's a pleasure.
Thank you. That's Alex Berenson. He's the contrarian chronicler of this this pandemic that we're all under. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to the Howie Carr Radio Network.